we'll start off this message with the way we started off all the messages in 2021, with sharing someone's verse of the year. If you haven't picked a verse yet, it's not too late. Please email me. You can see that it just keeps growing, the ones that we have along the side of the church here. It's exciting to see everyone picking a verse that they're going to be focusing on and memorizing for 2021. I even got one in the mail this week from someone who's watching online, and it was quite funny, the note she put along with it. I won't mention her name, but she said, "Dear Kevin, I'm an underachiever, so I'm doing Jesus Wept." Then it said, "Just kidding," and then she gave me her real verse, but it gave me a chuckle. So to that person who's watching online, I did get your note. Thank you for that humor that I had this week. So the verse today that we're going to read is Isaiah 43:2 from the Good News version of the Bible. "When you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you." This verse fits with what we're going to be talking about this morning. Over the past several weeks, many of my friends have been going through some tough, tough things. Seen lots of different situations and scenarios coming up where people are just hurting. And so we're going to take a pause this week from Philippians because I want to address some of these things that are going on. We've seen death of loved ones. We've seen personal struggles. We've seen legal struggles. We've seen parenting struggles. We've seen health concerns. We've seen job insecurity and many other things that are just causing people to be in pain right now. And so the first thing we need to remember is that struggle and pain is part of the human condition. Sin entered the world and sent the world on a collision course with heartbreak, with despair, and ultimately with death. And so we should expect these things to come. It doesn't make it any easier when they do come, but we should expect these types of things to come. Everyone deals with heartbreak. Everyone deals with despair. Everyone deals with pain. Solomon wrote these words in Ecclesiastes: "History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new." Sometimes people say, "Here is something new," but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. Now, I don't say that to diminish your pain or suffering. Quite the contrary, I say that so that you know that you're not alone in your suffering. You're not alone in your pain. You're not alone in your heartbreak. There are others going through similar situations. And it's not a contest to determine who's suffering more. Sometimes people think, "Oh, you know, I have this pain, but I feel guilty about this pain because I don't have it as bad as someone else." But that's not the point of pain. That's not the point of life. It's not to compare yourself to someone else. Your suffering, your pain is valid and needs to be addressed just like everyone else's needs to be addressed and comforted. I'm also not here to tell you that you're not feeling the right way for your situation. Everyone responds to situations differently, and your feelings are valid and necessary, and you need to process those and think through those things. We don't really get a choice about how we feel. You don't sit down and think, "I'm going to feel this way about this situation." It's just something that comes naturally. It's an instinct. And feelings by themselves are not good or bad. They are neutral. What we do with those feelings is what matters. What's not neutral is what we choose to dwell on with our thoughts, how we choose to respond, and how we choose to act. We have control about what we can control. And we have to realize those things that we don't have control over, we need to not worry about. Now, before you tune me out and think that I'm going to say something like, "Let go and let God," or "Turn that frown upside down," or something like, "If you were just a little more spiritually mature, you wouldn't be going through this," don't worry, I'm not going to say any of those potentially hurtful and false statements. Your pain is not going to be fixed with a bumper sticker or an emoji, okay? And I'm not saying that bumper sticker sayings can't contain some truth, but those are not always the most helpful things in the midst of our pain. And anyone who's experienced pain knows bumper stickers are not what we need to hear. We don't need to hear those things in our midst of our suffering. Yet sometimes, those of us that are with people that are in pain get some pressure on us and feel like we need to say the right words. But in reality, there's not usually any right words that we can say. Words are powerful, yes, but in the midst of our pain, sorrow, heartbreak, even the most sincere words can be heard with unintended consequences, with unintended tone, with unintended judgment, and they can be seen as hurtful. No one who has suffering has ever come up to me and said, "Kevin, I just wish someone would tell me the right words right now." That's not how it works with suffering and with pain. When I was first in ministry, I think I was maybe a year into it, if that. I was a youth minister in Soldier, Kansas, little tiny town. And I got a call that there was a baby found unresponsive at a daycare from one of my members of my church. And so I got in the car and I drove to the hospital. And on my way to the hospital, I was just praying because I didn't know what I was going to be walking into when I got there. When I got there, I asked what room they were in, and they told me the room number, but they didn't tell me the status of the baby, the status of anything. And so I opened the door to the room, and there were the parents just holding the baby, and they were just sobbing. The baby had passed away. There was nothing that they could do. In that moment, there was nothing I could say to ease their pain. All I could do was cry with them and offer them a shoulder to cry on. I ended up going and picking up their other kids from the daycare. And then that night, had one of the toughest conversations I ever had because we had to tell brother and sister that their baby sister had passed away. There are no right words for those situations. They don't train you for that in seminary. Those are the situations where you rely on God. And some of you are in situations similar to that. And so it's kind of ironic that I'm giving you a sermon about it when there really aren't the words to say. But I think it's important. In those moments, people need to know that you're there for them. They don't need to know your theology. They don't need to know what you believe about the situation. They don't need your solution to the problem. They just need to know that you're there. They need to know that you're there for them now and in the coming days and months ahead, and even sometimes years ahead. Because some people have said that the pain of the death of a loved one never really goes away. It just kind of moves to the back, and then sometimes it just comes and overwhelms someone for no apparent reason. And that's when they need us. That's when they need that shoulder to cry on. We can't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, it's been 3 months. You should be over that by now." Grief doesn't work that way. You're not on a time schedule. No one's going to be judging you if 3 years down the road you have a breakdown. I'm not going to solve your problem today with great words. What I can do is offer you a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen, and a promise to pray for you. And when I pray for people who are suffering and in pain, I pray specifically that the Holy Spirit will minister to you in a way that I'm not able to. Because the Holy Spirit is able to minister directly to your heart and to give you the comfort that no one on earth is able to give you. And so that's the way that I pray. While my words can maybe offer some solace, God's words have the power to transform us from the inside out. And that's part of the reason why I issued the Verse of the Year challenge this year. So that we'd be thinking about God's Word and meditating on God's Word and memorizing God's Word. I know there's some danger in just picking one or two verses and, you know, taking it out of context and using it in a different way than what it was intended. But I think that the idea that we're getting scripture into us and memorizing it and thinking about it and meditating takes over that risk of taking it out of context. God's Word has the power to create life. And by studying God's Word, we can catch a glimmer of heaven on earth, where God really speaks to us and speaks to our heart through the words that His servants have written. So in the midst of your pain, don't stop reading God's Word. Don't stop spending time in prayer. Don't give up that lifeline that you have. Here's what David wrote in Psalm 23, a very familiar passage for us all. In fact, let's read this together. Those of you that are here and those of you that are online, you can read it to your cat, but we will read it out loud together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I almost always read that passage at funerals because I really think it is a great reminder of the life that David had. David walked through some terrible, terrible things in his life. He started off as a shepherd, which is a hard life in and of itself. He was chased by a king and an entire army who just wanted to kill him. He, of course, committed some terrible sins. He was betrayed by his own son who wanted the throne and tried to kill him again. And then he faced the death of his infant son. David definitely walked through the valley of the shadow of death multiple times through his life. And if you read through the Psalms that David wrote, you will see the up and down of his life. Just read through the Psalms sometimes and you will see sometimes David is up here and sometimes David is down here. I sometimes wonder if he was bipolar in some way, in the way that he experienced life. Many of you are in your own valleys right now. You are suffering, you are in pain. And I pray that God's words will comfort you in that pain. When Jesus was on earth, He also faced sincere sadness and severe sadness. He also walked through His own valley of the shadow of death. Of course, we know on the cross that that was suffering unimaginable. But He also experienced pain with other people. And again, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. That story is about the story of Lazarus. So Jesus goes and He finds out that His friend has died. And His sisters, Mary and Martha, come to Jesus and tell Him, our brother has died. And they cry and they weep. And they were devastated at the loss of their brother. Many people had come to mourn with the sisters and to mourn the loss of Lazarus. And when Jesus came, He came to comfort them, and He was overcome with emotion, and He wept with them. He shared a moment with them. He didn't try to teach them a new theological statement. He simply wept with them. He shared that tender, compassionate moment with those who were truly in need. And we can follow that example. Now, of course, in Jesus' case, the weeping was brought to an abrupt halt because He had other things in mind. But before He got to that point, He acknowledged their pain and He stepped into their pain with them, which is what we need to do with those who are suffering. Jesus' other plans, of course, come out in John 11:39-44. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I don't know why I always chuckle at that part. She's not worried about Jesus doing anything other than making it stink. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth, and Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Jesus put an end to that suffering. He didn't let sadness be the end of that story. And Jesus is not going to be let sadness be the end of your story either. We live in an in-between time. In between Jesus' first arrival and Jesus' second arrival. And in this time, sin runs rampant. Satan has dominion over the earth, and it seems that evil is in charge of what we see around us. But when Jesus comes again, all of that will change. All the wrongs will be made right, justice will be delivered, tears will be wiped away, we'll see the people that have died before us, we will embrace those that we love, and Satan will be defeated once and for all. All sadness, worry, pain, despair will be gone. It will be a distant memory for us when we see Jesus face to face, when Jesus comes and conquers once again. Isaiah puts it in these terms. In that day you will sing, I will praise you, O Lord. You were angry with me, but not anymore. Now you comfort me. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. In that wonderful day you will sing, thank the Lord, praise his name. In that future day, God will reign victorious. And all who have chosen to believe in him will be by his side. So while I can't fix your situation right now, I can offer you hope for a brighter tomorrow. But I offer you hope not only for the future when Jesus comes again, because we don't know when that will be, but we can also offer you hope in the present. One benefit of being part of a church family is that we are there for one another. I know with COVID it's different being there for one another. I mean, half of you are probably in your PJs at home. A couple of you look like you're in your PJs here. But it's different with COVID. But we're still a family. And family is there for one another. I know our church is not perfect. Okay? We know that. We've all done things to our church family members that have unintentionally hurt them or made them mad at us or disappointed them in some way. That's just the way family is. But the fact that you're still here means that you see something special about this place. And if you are one of the many people who are hurting, I want you to reach out this week to someone in the church family. Make the phone call. Tell them that you need someone to listen. And if you get that phone call this week, don't worry about coming up with the right word. Just be a listening ear. Be willing to weep with them like Jesus was willing to weep with his friends. You can always use the Zoom link that we have set up. It's open all week long that we use for church on Sunday morning. Just send me a text or something telling me that you're going to use it so that I don't get on with you. Because I get a notification whenever it gets used. But use that. Use that to video chat with someone. If you're not comfortable getting out or if you don't want to do it over the phone. I hate talking on the phone, but I don't mind Zoom. only Jesus coming again can ultimately fix everything. And that day is coming. But in the meantime, He gave us each other. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word. So I want you to know you don't have to suffer alone. We were made for community. We were made to care for one another, to love one another. And if you know someone who's suffering, reach out to them this week. Send them a card. Take them a meal. Bring them a box of Girl Scout cookies. I like Thin Mints, just passing that up. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know that you love them and that you care for them. Don't use the excuse of not knowing what to say as a reason to not reach out. Just show them the same kind of love you would want someone to show to you when you're hurting, when you're suffering, when you're in pain. You can't know exactly how another person feels, because even going through a similar situation, our feelings are going to be different from one another. But you can know how you would like to be loved and comforted in your time of need. And that's usually a good place to start. So I urge you this week, be that friend for someone who is hurting. Be that friend this week for someone who needs that friend just to listen. Take the onus on yourself. We all see Facebook, well, most of us. We see the pain that people are going through. Don't just click the care button. Do something about it. Reach out. Call them. Text. Message. Just let them know that you're there for them. That's what a church family does. That's what God's family does. We're there for one another when we need it the most.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.